Frank to bring John Patenzi on if he's there, and we can start our show. Are you there, John Patenzi?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. So, John, why don't you tell the guests a little bit about yourself and some of the articles or the issues you've been writing about in the Palm Beach Post? Are you there?
Me?
No, John. Well, maybe we've lost John.
Oh, no. Hello?
Yes, are you there, John?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wonder what happened there. That was unfortunate. So I'm an investigative reporter with the Palm Beach Post. With a specialty in health and medicine and justice. And I've been a reporter for 30 years and been focused on the courts for pretty much for the last two decades. And we started looking at guardianship at the Post very seriously back in February of 2015. And I'm assuming that your listeners, know some of the issues of guardianship.
Yeah, we've had several shows about them. Frank has been involved with the probate court, so I would think our listeners are somewhat familiar with the issues going on with seniors today across America.
When a senior becomes incapacitated or even an adult, you know, most of the time a family member will step forward, but about a fourth of the time a professional guardian will come forward, and these guardians, as you know, are not exactly trained in finances or medicine or anything. Many of them are, you know, tennis pros and dog walkers and, you know, real estate agents.
I've got a question right off the bat here because you're an investigative reporter, and I have no idea. How do these people, being dog walkers and, whatever, how do they get these jobs?
Well, in Florida, up until just this last session, I think they might be taking a bit closer look at it. All you had to do was have, like, 40 hours of training and pass a credit check. And we found out that you could even have an ongoing foreclosure, as the subject of our investigation did, and still be registered as a professional guardian. And then you can control tens of thousands of dollars of, senior citizens' life savings, their medical decisions, even their end-of-life medical decisions. You know, where they're maybe deciding that should they have that treatment for cancer or is it too late? I've seen pleadings in which the guardian says, we think that it's really not worth, going through this treatment for this senior. Yeah, it's an amazing amount of power.
Do these guardians actually have power of attorney? Is that what this is?
Yeah, basically. They are given... Well, if you have a plenary guardianship, there's different levels of guardianship, but the full guardianship, they have complete control over the senior's life. I mean, they're basically rendered legally, in the eyes of the law, like an infant. They have no rights whatsoever.
Now, my last question, and I'll let you get going on it, but like, to have somebody committed into a mental health facility, it takes like two doctors to say, yeah, he needs some help here. What does it take to have a senior? Oh, you're you need a guardian.
It takes at least one doctor and three professionals. We've been so focused on the subjects of our investigation because there's been so much getting leads that we've been following. But we do hope to take a look at who these so-called experts are who are finding these people incapacitated. Up until recently in Florida,
Warrants as the secret visa court issues, all of them.
You know. Well, so back to what I was saying is that you know, before I got to the Post, that's my second stand here at this newspaper, and we really focus on investigative journalism. There's a lot of support for investigative journalism, and some of the best editors that I've ever worked with in my 30 years as a journalist at this newspaper. We had a professional guardian who was married to a judge. Her name was Elizabeth Savitt. The judge was Judge Cohen. And we had a tip that she was selling a senior citizen in a guardianship that she was in control of, his items, his possessions, out of her house, out of the judge's house. This is what started. So we just thought, well, that seems inappropriate. Let's take a look into it. And once we started looking into her cases and into his cases, we found all kinds of complaints, all kinds of conflicts of interest. And we really just kind of hit the tip of the iceberg there. Because when it comes to guardianship, the only person that really can put an end to an inappropriate behavior by a professional guardian is the judge. And if the judges are complicit, the families of these seniors have nowhere to turn to. And that's exactly what was happening with Elizabeth Savitt and the seniors that were complaining about her performance as a guardian.
Well, now, that leads to another question, though, that, okay, so I'm a senior, and this is happening to me, and I'm cognitive enough to make a complaint. Isn't there supposed to be some sort of oversight of these judges and oversight of these, if the judges are overseeing the guardians, who's overseeing the judges, and why aren't these complaints being, taken seriously by somebody? And I don't know who that somebody is.
Not to interrupt, but to there's a chief judge, and there's a Supreme Court who oversees the judges, and the chief judge at the Supreme Court. But what we have found is that in this case, that judges are very, I can't help but make the parallel comparison to what happened with the Catholic Church, when the priests that were molesting, children parents were coming to fight, okay, other priests would gather around them and protect them. And we're seeing some similar reactions by the judiciary. The chief judge of Palm Beach County was not happy that I looked into this issue. He did end up, instituting some reforms, and we're waiting to see how those pan out. But when I met with him face-to-face, he was not a happy camper. He said that I had stained all the judiciary with my investigation into Judge Cohen and into his wife. And that's how they looked at it. And I found that out personally on Friday, when I was following another case involving Judge Cohen, and he had his son has a parental custody care battle with the mother of Judge Cohen's grandson, and she has accused him of trying to use his influence to try to basically minimize her in this case. It's her accusations, I'm paraphrasing. And so finally we got a judge that was from another county, and I showed up to cover it, and all of a sudden he's demanding that I answer a question on a paragraph that is clearly a characterization of a pleading. He put me on the stand, and he made me answer this question, even despite my protestation, saying that this is just an effort by the Cohen family's attorney to intimidate me and to limited show coverage of our investigation into guardianship and into his wife's guardianships. And yet he still put me on the stand and made me answer that question. It was pure intimidation. That's all it was.
Yeah, it seems as though that judge, the chief judge, just saying that is somehow, you know, wait a minute, okay, who watches out after him?
Well, you know, the chief of the Supreme Court in Florida issued an edict to all chief judges in the county that they should, you know, make sure that all their judges are behaving properly and following the judicial canons. He has given them the power to, you know, enforce the judicial canons as a chief judge seems fit.
That's like writing your drunk and drinking buddy a ticket, as you know, if you're a cop. It probably ain't going to happen.
Yeah. I think we got to take a look at what we can do to protect seniors.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there needs to be some serious reform.
Well, there has been some reform. The state of Florida has just passed a law that will give the state its first regulatory authority over professional guardians and the ability to theoretically, you know, keep them from being a guardian. And if they did something that was criminal to prosecute them as such. But I think what is driving this is the attorneys in probate. There is a handful of attorneys who have turned this racket into a fee-making machine. And I think that probably one of the areas that the legislature might want to look at is capping those fees. Because once we take the money and, you know, the profit motive out of this, I think that the focus might then go and turn back onto taking care of the war.
Well, seeing as how you've investigated this, I've got a question about, you mentioned that a lot of the times, you know, family member will step up and, okay, I'll be the guardian, but what is the rules on that? Like, is there a thing where, okay, look, the only time a professional guardian gets assigned is if there is no family member that will do it, or do they just bypass that and go do it anyway?
The fact is that let's just say that 25% of these cases end up with a professional. There's either two scenarios. One, that there is nobody who could be a family guardian, or more likely, the family is not getting along. The guardianships that seem ripe for abuse have two very distinct characteristics. One, family members not getting along, and a sizable estate. Once that is like, you know, waving the red, you know, banner in front of the bull there for guardianship lawyers and guardians. Because once they can get families fighting, that can just, there's no end in sight to the kind of fees that can be generated. The litigation that is pursued by the guardian or by even lawyers representing the siblings of a senior. And what has happened, these families say, oh, we can't get along, let's get a professional guardian. And then, you know, they can handle all this and there'll be a neutral party and everything. But what we found is that they end up pouring gasoline on the fire in order to generate these fees. Now, understand this. So, suddenly the family is at odds and they all lawyer up. So now you got, like, let's say you have three siblings and you have three separate lawyers. You have a lawyer for the guardian. You might have a lawyer for the ward still involved, or maybe a separate lawyer for trust matters. All those people get online for a conference call on some frivolous matter. That's $1,000 an hour conference call. And so that's a real easy way to generate fees for these attorneys and these guardians.
Wow.
You know, John, I like that a concept that you said, putting gasoline on the fire. And with that, we have to go to our music break. I want you to stay with us. And Frank, I want to dedicate tonight's song to all the seniors across the nation who are caught in this guardianship twilight zone of theft of their hard-earned money and savings with no, like they say, que custode, que custode, who guards the guardian. And with that, we'll dedicate tonight's song to all the seniors nationwide, and especially those in Florida who are having problems with guardianship. Hit it, Frank.
Get that stuff. Here's that water. Here. What is it? What is killing? Is it here?
I don't know. Let's switch sides so it's not.
What?
So you don't have to
lay on it. How am I gonna get over there? What did he say? What did he say? What? That's for me.
Huh?
It's for
me. I don't know. You can't put this on.
We didn't talk about it. Is it here?
Don't touch it. I've never heard any of his songs.
What?
I've never heard any of the songs he's ever played.
That he puts on? The only time we do? It's a song for you.
What?
Yeah, it's a song for you.
Uh-uh. Stop it. Why did you do something? No, that was so hard.
That was sand.
I don't care. Why would you do it? Stop it. Don't touch it. Don't. That, you did it so hard. Put your hand down. Stop. Seriously, stop. The 2-year-old. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Stop. Okay. Stop it. Do you have to take a music break?
Yeah.
Why? Is this guy's paying for it? Or whatever song this is?
I don't know, it's his contract right now.
Okay, stop. Why aren't you doing that right now? I don't.
Most people realize their body needs clean water to function properly. Pure is the cleanest water, also known as distilled water. Some frauds pushing fake science and ignorant people repeating their disinformation and half-truths will tell you distilled water leaches minerals from the body. What they fail to tell you is distilled water only attracts and flushes inorganic minerals from your body. These are minerals your body cannot process and can interfere with your proper body functions. Distilled water does flush these inorganic materials from your body and is an effective and natural way to cleanse your body. AVR sells a distiller that distills 1 gallon every 3.5 hours. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, click on the superstore, go to the distiller, check the pricing and how to order, and watch the video explaining in detail why distilled water is pure water.
Okay, purified water. Oh, they have spring water, drinking water, distilled water, and purified water. Yeah. Well, that's what I think purified is, too. Distilled. Wait,
that's a good thing, yeah.
No. Let that stuff sit on there.
Sounds like it's pretty good. Plus, if you shit, it starts all the way to the top.
It's good to hear that he's got a good group of people at the post that he's working with, you know? Okay, stop. Stop. I don't
know. Stop for a long time.
Have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur.
Sulfur
is found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the superstore and order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays.
Okay, I'm very uncomfortable. Oh, I wonder why. Look at where your pillows are. That's why I'm saying move your pillows all the way over to your side. All the way. Both of them. can't figure out why my neck was hurting.
Why is it hurting?
Because your pillows. So Jake doesn't have her first period tomorrow. She doesn't have to get up super early. Oh my gosh, is that me?
A young lady.
Nuh-uh.
I'm sorry, I'm
oh my gosh. And I didn't have a pen. And I was like, okay, yeah, give me the code. Think this is gonna go 1, 2, 3, 4. It was like 1, 8, 7, 9, 4, 2, 6. I wrote it in lipstick. I couldn't find a pen. The closest thing I could find was lipstick. It's midnight. Oh my gosh. Did you know it was me? No. Yeah. Oh my gosh, downtown. I've never seen anything like that before. I'm like a freak show. Did she pay to have that done?
Nobody thinks that. They're just too squishy.
Radio Network. It's Monday, May 30th, 2016. It's about 9:40 out here on the Pacific Time Coast. And if that's what it is where you're at, we're live. And you can participate in the show by hitting up the chat room at theamericanvoice.com or americanvoiceradio.com. You'll see the link over on the left-hand side. Click it, pick a name, pick a password, and you're in there, unless, of course, you've already got a name and a password. Folks, little hint. It ain't a bank account, it's just a chat room, so don't get crazy with the password, something that you're going to forget in 2 days. Just make it simple and easy. It's just there to protect your name so nobody else is, you know, going to use it and act like they're you in the chat room. Anyhow, AVRN Talk is my screen name on Yahoo Instant Messenger. If you'd like to contact me directly, all the other information that you need is on the website. So, it is Monday night. This is the second hour, the second half of the second hour. Our co-host is coming to us live from New York City, Dean Lauren. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Frank. And we have our special investigative reporter from Palm Beach with us tonight, John Pacenti. And I noticed that I looked up the New York State rules for guardianships for probate, and it explicitly bans relatives of judges from any position for guardianship, and it actually extends to 6 degrees of relationship, are ineligible for fiduciary appointments. But what New York State has found that among the most widely abused are those received by political party leaders and their law firms. So this is what New York has a problem with, the kickbacks into the judges' campaigns and stuff. So, John Pathesi, come on back, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what's going on in the guardianship arena down in Palm Beach. And maybe you could throw out some high-profile names we might recognize. We had the Brooke Astor murdered, a wealthy socialite over her money by her son, John Marshall. And we've had Henry Carvel also murdered, but they cannot find him with the
autopsy. Wait a minute. Now, Carvel, that's not the ice cream guy, is it?
That's the ice cream man.
Oh, no.
By his family to get hold of the ice cream fortune. And as well as Brooke Astor, they drugged her. And this came out in a sordid, the grandson had to bring charges. And because he was wealthy, there was no alternative but to prosecute this. I think a high-profile designer stepped in. So, John, are you with us still?
Yes, I'm here still.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about Palm Beach and maybe some of the salacious events going down there, or what you think is important.
Well, let me start saying that, you know, there are good guardians, professional guardians out there. I talk to one. I quote him in my stories regularly. He's kind of the moral compass of our story to some degree. We go to him and say, well, is this normal to be doing in guardianship? And he'd go, oh, yeah, that's normal, or that's all, that's way out of bounds. And, what I wanted to say is that Sam Sugar, the co-founder of Americans Against Abuse of Probate Guardianship, has told me many times this kind of, this industry attracts those who only want to take the senior's money, and to put it kindly. And that these are the people that are making these high-profile cases come, you know, come to our attention, and it's made it very clear to us that, you know, that possibly the system needs to be overhauled. Now, when I spoke to a clerk of court that is from the 1970s, she told me that it used to be that the lawyers and everybody would do it pro bono. It was kind of like something to give back to the community. I mean, these were incapacitated individuals, and they would do it, you know, pro bono. But somehow that changed, probably in the, around the late 80s and the 90s, and really took off around the recession when all these people, you know, like real estate agents and others who were in financial debt, was looking for some ways to make easy money. Professional guardianship seemed to be a viable option for them. And that's how we ended up with the industry that we have today.
Sounds as though they have a similar problem to law enforcement, to where the only people that want to be law enforcers are psychopaths, and people of normal capacity want nothing to do with, you know, running around with a gun intimidating people. It sounds like we have the same thing going on in this guardianship thing, that the only people, or the majority of the people, that, you know, they see easy money and a quick, you know, a quick payday and, you know, easy marks.
Well, I don't want to go, you know, paint too broad of a brush, you know, of all the guardians, but in the cases that we looked at regarding this judge's wife, who was allowed to become a guardian, even though she had a foreclosure that was pending for years, like 6-7 years, and her husband was in debt and was missing out on paying his taxes and other mortgage payments and payments to homeowners associations and so forth and so on, that kind of
I bet. Now, you have a professional guardian that has some integrity and actually, you know, takes his job seriously as he should. Now, have you asked him, like, hey, look, you know, with all these horror stories going on, you guys are getting a bad name. I mean, what about the professional guardians that actually have some integrity? Do they have any kind of group that, are they taking any kind of steps? Are they saying, look, man, you got to get these dirtbags out of this industry or else, you know, they're making us all look bad?
I think that's what is happening. What I understand is that as we continue to write about these, you know, about the judge's wife and the judge and all the money that's being made in these cases, that they are saying that they are being, their industry is being tarred, and you know, they are looking at ways of, you know, they've asked for reform in the legislature, for instance. So I think that they are looking to, you know, it's either they're going to have to do it or the state's going to have to do it. So
well, yeah, because everybody knows how things go when the state starts doing anything.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. They're very interested in once they set up this, guardianship oversight. A guardian such as Elizabeth Savage, the judge's wife, who gets complaint after complaint after complaint in every single one of her guardianships, there's always an issue, and the issue is always these. And, they finally will say, hey, enough. You know, I've been covering this, like I said, for over a year, and I've been to many guardianship hearings. And, except for one, which involved a millionaire, multi-millionaire in Palm Beach named Mary Montgomery, which was a capacity hearing. All of them involved money. I never go in there and hear, hey, let's talk about how we can make the ward's life better. It's always about how can we get their money? Where are our fees? Where is our money? And that is like, it happens. I mean, it is never about the senior in guardianship. It is always about their money.
Now, I'll just interject. Right now, front and center in the national newspaper is the Sumner Redstone guardianship issue. Sumner Redstone is from Viacom. They run the amusement parks. And his girlfriend had the guardianship over him. And it turned out that she was, in fact, working with Disney, creating a scenario where Viacom was heading towards bankruptcy. So, and I'll just say, for instance, Jack Neufeld, who I have extreme respect for, he's dead now, but he was a reporter for the New York Post back in 1990s, or actually was made the editor when it went bankrupt. He wrote articles like Judges, Patronage Saints to Their Pals, in May 13th, 1993. He also wrote Kings County, Princes of Patronage, various other things, Brooklyn Lawyers Outline Court Patronage System, Brooklyn Democrats Rocked by Insider Patronage Letters. Folks, this is real. This is very lucrative. Dirty Dozens grabbing patronage dollars.
And it's widespread.
We won't get political, but we will say it is a problem.
And it's widespread. I mean, because 10 years ago, you know, 10 years ago in Portland, Oregon, it basically, for lack of a better description, a probate ring, okay, a probate robbery ring, was uncovered, and, you know, some lawyers and judges were actually prosecuted. But they had a whole organization going on up there. I mean, it was like a mill. You know, it was like a probate mill. And they were, yeah, it was. And they, you know, that was 10 years ago they were doing that up there, and they got caught, and and some did get prosecuted. Now, I've got a question about the coverage. What kind of, other than the judge saying, oh my gosh, you've tainted us all, you know, other than that, you know, what kind of reaction have you gotten from the readers and the general public and any kind of, you know, public officials? You know, have anybody called you and said, oh my God, I had no idea what's going on?
When we did this series, we did not, you know, it's complex litigation. It's complex for us, much less to explain it to our reader and have them follow it, you know, like, you know, through a series. And we were amazed at the response. You know, our metrics showed that, you know, the readers were staying with these lengthy, and these are lengthy stories because they're complex, like I said, and staying through them to the end. They've been following us. When we, after our initial investigation, I got 40, more than 40 tips regarding guardianship in Palm County and in the state of Florida. So, and you know, that's the thing, is that we're so focused right now because we're trying to move this from, you know, what we've seen with guardianship to the judicial corruption that, you know, that might exist or we suspect exists.
Or no exists. Keep going. Well, now wait a minute. I know you're being diplomatic in saying that, but doesn't it actually have to exist for this?
Well, that is something you have to decide. We're working. This is why we're covering the story and increments and how it's a slog. But you know, when you see attorneys making 10 and even hundreds of thousands of dollars on these cases, you have to ask yourself this one question. Is the judge doing it out of the goodness of his heart? You know? So, I mean...
Well, and plus, you know, when you look at it and you go, my first question when I have a problem with anybody is, who's your boss? You know, and so if I'm looking at these guardians and there's stuff going on that shouldn't, I wonder, who's your boss? Oh, your boss is the judge. Well, this is going on fairly widespread. I got to figure either these judges are incompetent and unfit to sit on the bench, or they're corrupt. I mean, there's not a lot of choices.
In one of the cases we're looking at now, this is a matter of public record. It's one of our last guardianships. $500,000 is missing, according to a lawyer's who brought the guardianship action. At the same time that money is missing, Elizabeth Savage is paying off her mortgage. That mortgage on her foreclosed house, $308,000 about. So, you know, at the very least, that looks like a question of impropriety. At the very least, we think a judge should ask Elizabeth Savage, how did you pay for, you know, this foreclosure? And if she says, you know, I have the money, and then you could ask, then why didn't you pay your mortgage and rent out that house for free for like several years? You know, so either way, she's kind of like, you know, God, you know, doing, you know, making money. You know, so we're waiting for a judge to ask her that question. She has not been deposed since her series came out, and every time they, you know, say, well, you need to be deposed, Ms. Savage, she resigns from the case. So, we're waiting to, you know, to see if that ever happens, but, you know, that's a question. Now, she very well might have paid off legitimately, but families in one guardianship, if a solid guardianship has asked this question, now in this guardianship, which involves an individual named Francis Berkowitz, has asked this question. I mean, isn't it time that a judge asks her this question? After all, she does perform as an appointed court official. You know,
you might think, sorry, John, but you might think the Florida State Attorney General, who resides over these particular cases as the litigator for the state for the protection of, because when you're declared under a guardianship under the state, you are a ward of the state. So have you heard from the Attorney General of Florida on this?
No, not a word. We know that law enforcement is aware of our coverage, but think about it from about a judge's wife. And I mean, when I do a story of one case, it takes months. Can you, a law enforcement investigation would take, you know, 10 times as long and be extraordinarily expensive and document intensive. So I think they're making their decisions, you know, based on, you know, on their resources.
What they're making their decisions on is business. What's good for business. And that's all law enforcement has become, is nothing but business. They get out there and they write tickets and they raise revenue, but any kind of investigation in any real crimes, they avoid unless they have to, unless they're forced to actually go after a judge's wife for, you know, serious improprieties. I mean, you're talking $500,000 here in just one thing.
You know, if she would answer these questions that we opposed to her rather than just, you know, attack me personally or, you know, that's what they do. They send letters, they put comments on stories anonymously, you know, saying horrible things. You know, these are just legitimate questions that we have, and if they were answered forthright, you know, we could move on. But they continue to pop up in case after case. And the attitude of the lawyer for the Guardian and for the Senate herself said, we don't have to tell you how I paid off that, you know, paid off my foreclosure. You're a fiduciary for numerous incapacitated adults, and you just paid off, you know, and right before it went to auction, by the way, by $308,000.
Yeah, and
where did you get that money?
Exactly.
And then you have to ask yourself, why in the world, if they were supposed to file a credit check, did they allow her to become a guardian? And that is now becoming a central fact in this Berkowitz guardianship. Why did the state allow this to happen? And I'm going to, you know, I have that question too, but, you know, you have to wonder if they knew who she was.
Well, my question is to you, John, how can our listeners contact the Palm Beach Post? Or is there a website or something that you deal with or can refer these people to?
Yeah, you can www.mypalmbeachpost is our site. I don't know how much time we got, but, you know, do we have enough time to talk about power of attorney? We kind of go full circle here.
If you can do it in 1 minute.
Okay. Well, you know, what people need to do is, before they get incapacitated, is, you know, set your finances up with your power of attorney, for your health care surrogate, who's going to be your personal representative, who's who you guide. Because in the past, those documents have been thrown out in guardianship, but we've had a ruling in Palm Beach County in which they do take precedence now that guardianship judges cannot just, like, you know, say, oh, throw these out, put this guardian in place, and, you know, do whatever you want with the money and whatever medical decision she makes, you know, usurps the family and the actual intentions of the senior who's now in guardianship. And so that's what I would urge everybody to do. And hopefully state legislatures around the country will follow suit. Many of them are looking at reform and will pass laws saying that these take precedence over any kind of guardianship, you know, that might come forth in, you know, in front of the courts.
Well, that sounds like a real good start.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, if you can protect yourself and you don't, then, you know, really you've got to take a little responsibility for any kind of mess you get in later. But, I mean, if they leave you where, hey, I did everything I could, you just threw it in the trash can and did what you wanted, well, that's just criminal operation there. But we are out of time. John, thank you for being on. And Dean, as always, thanks for being on. And, folks, thank you for listening. And do what you can to protect yourselves, your family, and be aware of what's going on. Anyways, we'll see you again tomorrow. As always, thanks for listening.
Pretty. Got another verse to it?
Yeah.